Last week, or I should say a couple weeks back, we left off with such encouragement in the introduction of this revelation. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed, it says, that blessed are they that read this and hear this and treasure this. It's a privilege, isn't it? That gives me chills to think, thank you, Lord, that you brought me into the message of the Word of God, that there's many that are reluctant to read the Word of God, first of all, but then there's certain books and revelations, one of them, it's not meant for us to understand. First three scriptures, it tells you you're supposed to understand this. This is meant for us. It is meant for you. And brothers and sisters, that's what I'm rejoicing tonight in, just a little bit more fire. We're the saints of a better thing. We are the saints, as the Word of God says, of exceeding great and precious promises. This mystery was sealed up to those of the Old Testament. We're not comparing ourselves, but we live in a greater opportunity time. We do. Wonderful. Praise God for the testimony of the forefathers of our faith. But I rejoice for you. I rejoice for me, that this mystery is not to be sealed up anymore. This mystery is for us, and to know it, to treasure it, and for it to be ours. Amen? And thank God that his love is to be fully known, and the absolute plan of God in its very purpose for his son to have a wife. This wondrous mystery has been made known to us, and this mystery, which we also know as a proposal, is for us. Praise God. So let's go on to verses 4 through 8, Revelation chapter 1. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and all kindreds of the earth because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Praise his name. So John here, as we begin, he's speaking to the seven churches. And brothers and sisters, we will examine these seven churches as we go into chapters 2 and 3 in great detail. And to know this, that these seven churches represent the state of all believers at this time. You're going to find yourself as a child of God in one of these seven churches. And that's why it's out there. There's a completion in this. This is spiritual perfection. This is speaking of the church at this time. You will find yourself in one of those churches. Again, this isn't a physical city location or a country location, but more importantly, each of these seven churches represent a state of the heart with God. What is our state of heart with God? As those that have known this portion of Scripture, you'll see a state of heart which is fully purposed to win him, and then you'll find a state of heart that's neither hot nor cold, that's ready to be spewed out of his mouth. But as we will see, this encouragement and this grace, this great, great grace, is the same to all. He wants every believer to finish with a full joy. And you'll notice with every one of the endings of every one of the churches, even though whatever state they're in, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. See, it's all remedied by the Spirit. Amen? See, everything is healed. Everything is set perfectly in our lives. The truth is made completely apparent to us by hearing. And what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And again, I love how the emphasis is, it's the Spirit that ministers this depth. It's the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that takes all the things of Christ and makes them yours. He's the one that takes, and again, the truth and all truth and makes it known unto you. He's that guide. He is that teacher. He is that one that brings the proposal at the well, just like Eliezer did for Rebecca when she was, again, met at the well. She was met with the message of the proposal. And you always think of that as well, too. She was of the family of God, representing that she was already saved. She was already, in a sense, a Christian in that type. So there she was. She was going to go to the well and drink. But she didn't realize how much there was to drink and what there was to drink. And my goodness, when you go to that well and you meet the Holy Ghost at the well, it will be the proposal. It will be the marriage of the Son that you're going to hear. And what you're going to hear, it's not about it. It's about you and about how deeply in love Jesus and the Father is in love with you. Praise his name. So, these are the things that we know in this full encouragement. But getting back, this number 7 is the number of perfection and completion. That is why this includes the whole, in a sense, the body or the church at this time. And notice it's to all the family of God. And notice here, as it begins, grace be unto you and peace. I am thankful to know that we will never have peace. No one can ever have peace without grace first. You have to have grace before you'll ever have peace. See, the world wants peace, but they don't want to have anything to do with grace. It was just like Sarah when Abraham would travel with her, and she was so beautiful. Everybody wanted her, but she represented grace, and nobody was going to have her because they couldn't have that grace. And see, the only way that you're ever going to have the peace is by taking Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. Amen. And that's why this world will never know peace until, again, Jesus will make it known in that regard. So I'm so thankful that we know this. I'm so thankful that this is so evident. But notice here as well, too, from Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. See, we know that Jesus is very God of very God. We know that he is everything. And as we go on through these next few verses, look who grace and peace is from, and truly what extraordinary grace and peace it is, because it is from he who was and is to come. Hallelujah. And I think of the grace and peace that we have, because we know that this grace and peace, because of the message that we have, because of this mystery now that is made known unto us, we have grace and peace from the bridegroom. You talk about really having grace and peace. When you have received that message and really lived that message, you have apprehended all that grace, haven't you? And you talk about peace. When we really are living the bridal message, is it not perfect peace? Amen? Isn't it just, well, praise God? I see all of Paul's epistles, and I see them absolutely working together for good, for my good. Amen. That it doesn't matter, because I understand I'm going to suffer together with him if I'm going to reign together with him. I know that by the grace of God, that if I'm going to be glorified, I must, again, endure affliction. And I know that in those afflictions, it's because of his faithfulness, because in his faithfulness, he afflicts us. He knows exactly what we need. Just like with Brother Paul, he knew exactly the thorns that Paul needed. Paul had walked with him a long time and really knew the truth. And he says, Lord, I need this thorn removed from me. And he told him that 3 times, didn't he? But Jesus said, oh, sweet Paul, I love you so much that I got to tell you something now, son. If I remove that thorn from you, you would be magnified instead of me. Paul then got right down on his knees. He says, oh my, I glory in my infirmities. Praise the Lord. Because see, in this weakness, praise God, it's the very power of Christ that rests upon my life. Now again, what do we want resting upon our life? And you think about that peace that we get as we go on with Paul's gospel. We give him peace with that. You know that, amen? Because the virtuous woman, the heart of her husband trusts in her. There's a rest, there's a peace, there's an absolute assurance in again, It's all in his marvelous grace. Isn't that wonderful? See, when we rest in grace, there's, again, that peace. There's a double portion. We receive it, he receives it. It's such a beautiful encouragement as it continues to work back and forth, all because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But notice this. It says grace and peace from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now, those that seven spirit, it would be better read sevenfold spirit. Again, it's the perfection of Christ. Again, this is the perfection of grace and peace from the full maturity message in Paul's gospel. Now you're saying, well, how are you getting all that out of that? Because it's the Spirit. Doesn't the Spirit take all the things of Christ and make them yours? Well, I'll tell you what, if it's a perfect enfolding and folding, which is the sevenfold of this Spirit, let me tell you something. It's going to be the bridal message. It's going to be the whole counsel of God. It's going to be the mystery of Christ in his church. It's going to be that rejoicing. And it will be that grace and peace in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, as all of us can attest, and I believe you wouldn't be here tonight by the grace of God if there wasn't encouragement to run to win him. If there wasn't something, again, that was so real to your life about pressing for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Tingling. Here we go. With that, praise his name. This is that great grace and that peace that he speaks of here. This is, again, that comfort that's like none other. But as we've gone on in that, we've been tested more, haven't we? Amen. There's been things that if we didn't know the Word of God, we would call them strange things. We would say, oh Lord, how could this be? How could this be something that would add to my fellowship with you? How could this be profitable to the testimony in my life? But by the grace of God, we don't say that. Why? Because you know the truth. Because you have this grace and you have this peace. Because you know about them thorns. You know, praise God, that he must increase and I must decrease. And in that, let me tell you something. You know that you're going to have to really live, understand, and experience even when I am not faithful. Even when I believe not, he abides faithful. All right? Runners of the race, isn't that wonderful? It's a hard thing. I don't know about you, but I don't like to fail. I don't like to not believe even for a moment. But by the grace of God, I do. But I know all by the grace of God that he even works that together for my eternal glory good. And that's the truth. So we praise him for this. And I'll tell you what. We start to become humble like that, my, does he pour on the grace. Amen? Takes us to higher heights and actually even the lower depths to understand a lot of different things about the beauty of our Lord. So here's the desire from this grace and peace, that we grow into that complete fullness, the stature, that perfect man and woman of God for him. And again, right here, he's got the Holy Ghost to do it. And more importantly, he's right here amongst us. He's already given. See, we don't beg for the Holy Ghost. We read that in John. He's already given him. He's here. He doesn't have to send him. He's already given him. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters. We just enter into it. The anointing's here. Praise the Lord. Just enter in. Amen? Praise God. Just believe it. It's there for you. And what grace and peace it is in all the working of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, grace and peace. That's the grace and peace that we live in. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Praise his name. See, you've got bridal truth. Think about the grace and peace in bridal truth. Amen. Think about knowing revelation by the grace of God that you know. You don't worry about tomorrow. You don't worry about, oh my goodness, this leader, this power, this is going on. You don't worry about, oh my goodness, the school system's gone, our government's gone, and all of these things. You know the Word of God. You stand on the promises of God, which are yea and amen. You understand the plan of God. Brothers and sisters, we abound in hope, and again, not a hope of an if. That's man's hope. Man's hope is if it's going to happen. God's hope is when it's going to happen. And in God, I'm really understanding the way he sees it. It's already happened because his son finished it. Amen. That's why we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Amen. Amen. God help us to, I'll tell you what, get on that glory train, and we need to. But see, this grace and peace, it says here, is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. His word is true. Amen. He cannot deny himself, the first begotten of the dead, the captain of our salvation, the prince of the kings of the earth. He is over all. Grace and peace from him that loved us. And I love that, that washed us from our sins, but washed us in his own precious blood. See, not in some atonement that was made with a type, not of an animal or anything of that nature, with his own precious blood. Oh my goodness, he was made sin for me. He was made sin for you. He had to wash me in him. It had to be that personal and that intimate. Grace and peace from he who conquered sin and death for us. I love that. Grace and peace. Well, I'll tell you, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's grace and peace. Hallelujah. That's what we have. That's what he has given. That's what he has been made for us. And all that grace and peace, it says here, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Oh my goodness. Depending on how you like to read this, I love to read that Jesus is God. To him be the glory. And that's what grace does for us. And that's what that peace does. It makes us his glory. Praise God. It gives him glory when we dwell in this grace and peace in us. And it's all because of him. And thank the Lord, that's the reigning of his glory. That's his wife, praise God, that will be with him forever and ever. And notice here, to God, it says, and his Father. Think about the double portion of peace that we bring to the Godhead. Amen. No wonder she's called the New Jerusalem, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Never forget this. The name Jerusalem means double peace. Praise the Lord. Do you have a double portion of peace? Amen. You do if you're really running for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because you have the peace that now are we the sons of God. And then by the grace of God, you have grace and peace. Again, not that I've apprehended, but I'm looking forward to be the Father's daughter-in-law as well, too. How about you? Amen? Double portion. It's all over this place. Now, a little quick note, and I love to think of this as a little glory note on the kings and priests. Notice who's saying this here. Where is that? Verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, we do need to get into the details. It's wonderful. We can rejoice in him. Notice, this is John that's saying that. And he uses the word us. John's including himself in this kings and priests to be to the height of this praise for him. But we know in Scripture that John himself is not going to be part of the bridal company. Because we know that the Word of God has told us that John's place is not in the bride of Christ, but instead John will be ruling on one of the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. All right? But yet he says this, and I've had somebody come back and say, well, he uses himself here in kings and priests. And I said, well, how perfect that is. Because whenever any life at any time takes the best and the height of what God is offering, let me tell you something, it's always going to be a place of reigning. It always will. Those disciples, by God's grace, they took that place that was offered to them. Where will they be? They'll be reigning on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. Think about the Old Testament worthies of faith. Where do we see them? Those ones that were the full overcomers in the Old Testament. We'll see them in Revelation chapter 4. And it says about the 24 elders. And where are they? They are seated. It says they're in seats. Well, that word seats, it's the same thing for thrones. And they've got crowns on their head. So we can see that even the Old Testament ones that have, again, fully received what God had given to its absolute height of potential, they have a place of reigning with him. But then there is a place and there is a throne. And again, very different than the 12 thrones that are over the 12 tribes. Very different than the 24 thrones that are round about the throne. There are the four living ones that represent the bride of Christ. And they have the throne, which is his very own throne, which is in the midst of the throne. Praise be to God. So see, there is all of that reigning. See, the Lord is about every life, no matter when that life had lived, to have his best. And in that best, there will be a reigning that will happen. But praise be to God for the bride. That is the only place that will be jointly together with him, ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne glory. Praise his name. So I pray, if there was ever a thought, well, how could John call himself a king and a priest? That's how he could, because he did take what God had offered to him in the fullness of it. Now, verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, in a sense, will see him. And all kindreds of the earth shall see him, and they shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That means it's going to be done. Now, this is really what it is about, brothers and sisters, because he cometh with clouds always represents the saints. Let's go on over to Matthew 27, and we'll talk about, again, these clouds. And those that have a Bible, this is a good verse to mark here, because you'll understand that it shows you the ranks in the resurrection. It shows you throughout the Word of God that there is one star differing from another in glory. There's ranks, and God has always shown us these things. And in Matthew 27:51, this is right when Jesus, in verse 50, when he died upon that cross, he yielded up the ghost, and he cries, Telio, it is finished. And at that moment, it says in verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now listen to this. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, that's such a precious portion of Scripture because it says many bodies of the saints. It didn't say all of the saints, did it? Where do saints end up? Absolutely, in heaven. Praise be to God. And we know that all of those saints, in a sense, in that captivity was led captive. We know that they went from upper Sheol, praise God, to the place of the throne of God. But there were certain saints, that their bodies, they were sleeping, they arose. They were given those glorified bodies at that time as they entered in. So these ones, again, were glorified in that sense. This is that company, praise God, of the full overcomers of the Old Testament. This is the company, praise God, of those 24 elders that are round about the throne. This is the company, praise God, which is that cloud in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that by the grace of God I expect to meet after I meet Jesus in the air, that cloud that'll be there. They're going to be encouraged to be greeting us. Those, again, not that we've apprehended, but I'm trusting in the grace of God to finish me and to perform the good work that he's begun in me. I want to have that assurance in him, not that I've already attained. But I'll tell you what, we do press because of the love of God and the grace of God for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise his name. So this is it. And if there's questions on that, be happy to visit with you on it. But this is that cloud. Praise God that we begin to see. And he is coming with the saints, praise the Lord, to wrap this whole thing up. In Revelation 19, it's called the heavenly host. And we praise God that those are the armies of heaven. And when this will be that Armageddon time, and when the Lord completely wraps it up and judges the earth and those that have denied his name, what a time it's going to be. But notice here in verse 7, the very first thing that he says, it says, got to get back to verse 7. I want to quote it exactly right here, but in verse 7, I want to get in chapter 4. Let's try chapter 1, Jesse. All right. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. So there's your first company. Every eye shall see him. So this is speaking of the eyes that look for him. And what a truth this is, that he's going to appear to them a second time that are looking for him. Brother Paul said that those that would receive an exalted rank of righteousness like he, those are the ones that love his appearing. Amen. And then, praise God, isn't it wonderful, and I'll kind of leap ahead a little bit, in Revelation chapter 4, when it speaks of the four living ones, they're full of eyes. They're full of eyes. And where are those eyes on? They're on Jesus. And those are the ones, that's the every eye shall see him. Well, praise be to God, I hope to be full of eyes. And I'll tell you what, I better be full of eyes right now and looking and loving his appearing. So this is that company that so adores him, that are looking for him right now. And then next you'll see, and they also which pierced him. So here's another group that we're seeing that will see him. Now this group that pierced him, this is specifically referring to the Jew, because the Jew brought him, again, to the Romans to have him crucified. And we know that the Lord will appear again to his people. And there's going to be some that God in his great, great grace are going to believe, and then there's going to be some that are going to stay in unbelief. We know these things. And then finally it says, and the kindreds, all kindreds of the earth shall well because of him. This is the kindred of the earth, and God forbid, because this is that the remaining that are wailing, and what horror in the vision that they see. They see the judgment of God. You never want to see the judgment of God. We know that the blood of the Lamb takes us from that, but these are the ones that will stand before the great white throne of judgment. And I pray that all of God's precious people know God's people will never stand before the great white throne of judgment. That is those that are of a lie. Those are the ones that are of sin. A child of God cannot commit sin, neither can he sin. We know that the judgment seat of Christ, which is Christ and his rewards, is going on right now for us. But as far as any judging from sin, why would I have to be judged from sin when my sin has already been removed as far as the east is from the west? Amen? See, just read the Word of God. Don't think what you want to think about yourself or somebody else. Read the Word of God, and how beautiful the Word is. But note this. When Jesus meets the bridal company in 1 Thessalonians 4, it's in the air with that cloud. But this specifically is the cloud or the heavenly host that will come with him, that will punish the nations and bring forth the full wrath of God upon the earth. And again, that's Revelation 19. So we're getting lots of stuff, I'll tell you. You get a full amount just reading into the first 8 verses of the first chapter of Revelation. Now, verse 8, he says here, I am Alpha and Omega. We've just heard that, didn't we? The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I believe there's so much encouragement to us, brothers and sisters, in this, because we need to be encouraged. He's everything. He's everything. We do not need to be concerned. We don't need to be alarmed. We don't need to be anxious. He said, be anxious for nothing. I am that I am. I came as the Lamb. I'm going to come back as God on the throne. And that is such comfort to us that he tells us again, there is no other power. Nothing can come against you. It is finished. Let's be encouraged. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll read again how the Father just, again, absolutely adores his Son. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, this is speaking of Jesus, for by him were all things created. Amen. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. See, he set all this up. It doesn't matter what it is. Nobody gets into any office that he didn't put there. I'm going to tell you right now. I know you've heard this. I'm going to tell you the truth. your vote does not count. Matter of fact, nobody's vote counts. They don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm telling you to do what God puts on your heart. But I'm telling you, you better move by faith. And this is the truth. So I'm going to believe the word of God. All things, it goes on there, all things were created by him, and all things were created for him. Praise the Lord. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he didn't just make it and there it went. It still relies upon him completely. Amen. Everything. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that him in him should all fullness dwell. Praise the Lord. This is our God. Hallelujah. This is our Savior. This is our friend. And praise be to God, by the grace of God, this is our bridegroom. So this confirms to us that he is and always has been everything to us. And I see, I love this, to give sometimes a testimony about the Lord. And I think that young man, Brother McDermott, when he wrote that book, More Than a Carpenter, I love how he said that, is, he testified to people and, you know, people, and you've heard this before. Oh, yeah, Jesus was a good man. He was a great teacher. You know, and everybody says we should all be like Jesus because, you know, he didn't lie. You know, he fed the poor. He was about, you know, the ones that, you know, didn't have very much, the needy and all of that. But then you say, okay, that's great. Great, great, great. Do you believe that he is the divine, only begotten Son of God? Oh, no, 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 no. You don't. Did he come from heaven? No, 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 no. He was a God, and then he became man? Took the form of a man? No, 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 no. Well, then how can you say he was such a great guy? How could you say that he lived so well? How could you say that he didn't lie? Because he's either very God or very God, or he is the biggest liar there's ever been. And that's the truth. But the truth is that he is God. And we thank God for this. And it's so wonderful. But just that's man's reasoning. You know how man gets so cerebral. And they're trying to compromise this and that. Well, that's neither hot nor cold. And you'll be spewed right out of his mouth. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And as Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And you can't have the Father without the Son. You can't even call God, God. Even though you think you call God, God, without Christ, can't. So I thank the Lord and what peace we have. And it's not to argue. It's just to say how simple that it's the blood of the Lamb that did it all. This precious, amazing God of love, this great grace. And God so loved that he gave his Son. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now notice this. John says, I'm your companion in tribulation. I don't think we have a choice. Because really, this is getting right to the quick of it, isn't it? If you really receive this, if you really believe and want the revelation of revelation, you're going to be the companion of tribulation with John. Amen? If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. If you deny the suffering, you're going to deny the reigning. That's why most people, they don't care about revelation. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't care about any of that. Well, they're not going to reign either. Matter of fact, they might not even find themselves in heaven if they don't have the blood of the Lamb. But I'm just even speaking of Christians. But if you really want this truth revealed in you, no other way is going to happen but through tribulation and patience. Notice that. They're together. There's tribulation and patience. We wait. We don't go into tribulation and murmur if we're growing up in the things of God. We go in, and boy, I'll tell you what, we know we have need. But I pray that we would go in as ones mature, such like a Daniel in the lion's den, such like the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Amen. That we know that God is able. And with this tribulation, with this trial, he has already made the way of escape. And notice it says that we do wait for it. And notice where he's waiting for it. It's the Isle of Patmos. Well, if you look up the meaning of Patmos, it means the place of killing. It's the place of dying. Isn't that true when you really want to know the truth? He must increase and you must decrease. Amen. It's a place where basically we really do die. And again, to really see the depth, to hear the proposal, to have a testimony, it must be all him, nothing more of us, but all him. And then we'll go ahead and read verse 10 here. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So here is where we're going to set up everything as we go forward. John finds himself, he says, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he hears behind him a great voice as a trumpet. So as we see here, John is looking here, and he hears behind him a trumpet. So he looks back after he hears that trumpet, back over the church age. Because we know that the church age ends at the time of the first trumpet. That first trump sound is when the bride shall be caught away. We know that the Word of God tells us that when the bride is caught away, that's when we begin the time of time shall be no more. A lot of people think, well, that time shall be no more means when everybody gets to heaven and there's just not going to be any more time. No, time shall be no more speaks of there's no more longer any more time to be ready for the bride. It's done. She's been taken. That time is gone. That time is no more. So what we have here is we have John, who has been taken in spirit, and here he is on the Lord's day. The Lord's day begins at the day of the first trump. The Lord's day is about to happen. Lord's day is about here. Lord's day could begin tonight. Praise the Lord. The Lord's day, if you're really living for the Lord, is your day. Amen. And I like to tell him, well, Lord, that's our day. Praise God. He's offered us to be glorified together with him. I believe what's his is mine. What do you think? Are you going to be as bold as Esther and come forward? And as he said, you ask anything. And that wasn't just half the kingdom. What he said to Esther was, what's mine is yours. Praise the Lord. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. He died for you to have all this. Take it. That's how he's glorified. That's how he is blessed. That's how he is praised. Praise God. Because we praise him for the glory of his grace. Amen. How much grace do you want to glory in? Well, if you'll take all that grace, which brought you all truth, let me tell you something, it will be all glory. Amen. Praise God. You'll never have glory without grace. It can't happen any other way. It's got to be grace. The more grace you take, praise the Lord, that's the more of the truth you'll see. That's how much more glory you'll be for him. So John, we see here, what this is showing us here is we must be in spirit to hear. Notice this. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard. And I love that. You really want to hear the word of God? You need to be in spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for this. Without the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we're not going to hear him fully. Without walking in the spirit, we become hard of hearing. And then I'll tell you what, I believe very sweetly and very encouraging. That's why we had a sermon not too long ago about stir up the gift, walk in the Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Praise the Lord. Why don't people want to hear this? Because we're not, as the people of God, we're not being encouraged in truth and in spirit and in truth. Amen. In spirit and in truth. And God help us, as Paul said, that we would not quench the spirit and to be encouraged in it. But then notice here, again, the Lord's day. And as I mentioned, the Lord's day begins, just as it says here, that the first blast, the voice of the archangel of God in Thessalonians 4. We have a couple minutes. Let's just go read over there and enjoy that. We need a little bit more abounding hope tonight. So this is a good thing to always thank him for. It's not just something you read at a funeral. It's the truth, isn't it? And see, that's why you want to know all the Word of God. But because, see, chapter 5 gives us complete revelation of what chapter 4 is about. Because chapter 4 talks about those that are alive. We're going to read it here in a minute. And that are looking for his appearing. Those that are alive and expecting him. Those that are alive. And that alive, again, are those that are walking in the Spirit. Goes on in chapter 5. It talks about the people of God that are asleep. See, it says that if you're slumbering in the night, the thief's going to come like a thief in the night. And those that are sleeping will sleep through it. But then in the last part of chapter 5, it says, but we weren't appointed to wrath. God's people that will be at this time, the time that we're living, you weren't appointed to go into the tribulation. You were appointed to be in this first trump rapture. That's what God absolutely has given. That's what God, praise the Lord, has given us in the heights of his glory. He wants all men to be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. He wants us alive and awake. So there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And I believe this is speaking to us, shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that have already passed. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel of God. There's your first trump. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. And we're going to see that dead in Christ shall rise first. Those are the Smyrna saints that we're going to read about. Those are the ones that have died expecting, and those that have died as Philadelphia saints in a sense, but they're not Philadelphia saints because they don't live to the company of the Lord, but they've passed. But the ones like Paul, there were so many that have been witnesses and testimonies to us in this meeting that have gone on before us. Praise the Lord. And that's how Brother Hill would say, I expect Brother Copley to get up. Well, now we say, my goodness, we'll see Brother Hill get up by the grace of God, or all of, praise God, as so many. And that's why I say we go on and on. But again, it's not for me to determine or me to choose, but I am going to tell you something. I do mark them that followed Paul as he followed Christ. Huh? Oh, that's pretty bold of you to say that. Sure, I'm bold in the Lord. I want to mark them. And that's a mark that's really right on that word of his grace. And we thank the Lord for it. But it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Remember that from Matthew? Those the Old Testament full overcomers. There they are to meet who? The Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You'll notice very importantly that 1 Thessalonians doesn't end there. It goes right on into chapter 5. And remember this, brothers and sisters, that didn't have back then, it didn't have this nice chapter 4, chapter 5, and all of this verse marked out here. It just kept going. So after it says that, it keeps going, and it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write this unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that's that first trump, amen, that's the Lord's day, so cometh as a thief in the night. See, he's coming like a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Paul speaking even to himself. Don't be slumbering. Don't be sleeping. Be awake for what? The first trump. For what? Chapter 4, to meet the Lord in the air. Read the whole thing. And then it all comes together wonderfully, perfect, and so like a cookie on a shelf. Amen? See, when you start popping out verses here and there, that's what the enemy tried to do. Twist them up, things of that nature. Know who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and what's being spoken about. God encouraged me to tell the young people that many, many years ago. Who's speaking? I know it's always the Spirit, but what writer in the Word of God? And know also, too, who's speaking. Is the person speaking a Christian, or is the person that's speaking an unbeliever? Huh? It's true. Amen. All right. Who's speaking? Who's being spoken to? What's being spoken about? So, Lord wanted us to go over that tonight. Praise His name. But see, that's why we stir up the gift. That's why we walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is why John looks back over. He's looking back in the next few chapters, as we'll see, over the time that we are now in this church age. And he will reveal to John the state of the church that we are in right now. And the Lord's Day, know this. This is what's so beautiful about the Lord's Day. It'll start right at that first trump. And it goes all the way through the end of the millennium. People say, well, that's a long day. Well, he said that 1 year is like a thousand. I mean, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. Quit trying to analyze. Just believe the Word of God. It just fascinates me how stupid we can be. Amen. You know, we're going to try to figure out, well, was it 7 days or 6 days or there was a year, 1,000 years. It's like, oh, my goodness. You're going to get lost in that. You're never going to know the mystery. You're going to be sitting there looking and trying to. Remember he says avoid foolish questions? I'm realizing how stupid I really am. More and more all the time. How I don't know a thing, but he knows everything. And I'll tell you what, when I know that, then I really know that he's been made all wisdom to me. And I'll know what he wants me to know. I'll be able to do everything that he's appointed me to do. He'll bring me into places where I know that it's completely over my head, which is everything anyways, because you know without him you can't do a thing. Your talent, that's his. He gave it to you, and he can take it just as fast. Know it. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to praise him and thank him. There's just so much here, and I feel like I'm just zooming over it anyways. I know some will think, oh my goodness, now when are we going to get to that battle? Battle now. Then you'll be victorious when we hit it. Amen? All right, let's stand and be dismissed.